Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Talking to God, a study of the principles of prayer based on Ron Dunn's book, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Prayer is the secret weapon of God's kingdom. It's like a missile fired from any spot on earth. It travels completely undetected. It moves at the speed of thought, and it hits its target every time. It can even have a delayed detonation later, after much longer after the prayer time. John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus was looking to the other side of the cross. His displayed vision, or I could say, he displayed vision beyond his certain death. It was an eye of faith that kept his view clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What was Jesus teaching us about prayer? Well, John chapter 12, verses 23 and 24 reads, but Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. A grain of wheat must die to produce a harvest. It's just a grain of wheat. It's there by itself, not producing anything. But if it goes into the ground, it dies, and then over time, it produces a great harvest of much wheat. Faith anchors itself in biblical truth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus' prayer that night in that upper room spanned centuries, reaching all who believe. Excuse me, to this day. Do you realize that every time someone is saved, that prayer is answered again 2,000 years later? My grandmother prayed daily for all of her children and all of her grandchildren. She died at age 93 in 1973 and didn't get to see any of her grandchildren saved. But in 1981, 8 years after she died, I was saved. In 1990, 17 years after she died, my brother was saved. In faith, we need to be praying for our children and their children, carrying them past the fires of hell and through the gates of heaven. Don't miss the significance of this prayer. Praying with vision beyond the obvious. Not for these alone, but also for those who will believe through their word. Listen, Satan has no defense against prayer. A believer can resist evangelism easily, refuse to attend church, sleep while there, not answer the door, throw away the tracts, change the channel, hang up the phone, but he can't prevent the the Holy Spirit reaching his heart in response to prayer. It's a process of reaching people through the throne of God. Faith, he said, all those who will believe in me. Remember, Jesus wasn't even crucified yet when he prayed that prayer. Missionary Adoniram Judson was a prisoner in Burma because translating scripture into their language was considered hostile to their government. After 7 years in prison, with no converts, his wife brought him food daily. And one day, a letter from supporters asking about his needs. His response? Tell them to send a communion set. We're going to need it someday. He saw the need in faith. He had not seen any converts. He had been in prison for 7 years. But he asked for a communion set. Over 600,000 Baptist Christians in Burma, or as it's known, Myanmar today, can trace their spiritual heritage to Adoniram Judson. Go to Luke chapter 18. We'll look at verses 1 through 8. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me for my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet this woman, widow, troubles me. Because she troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? Literally, this kind of faith. Will he find this kind of faith? What kind of faith? Well, faith that prays without ceasing. Faith that refuses to lose heart. Faith that continues until an answer comes. Jesus spoke of something else in that prayer. That they also may be one in us. Unity. That will be the world's witness of Jesus Christ by the church. One body. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in this dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. One Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with him. One heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses, said Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Let me ask you, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have the kind of faith that can see the harvest on the other side of death? Do you work for unity in the body of believers? Do you put aside personal goals to work for a common goal. Well, let me ask you, if there's any person that you have conflict with, that you would purpose to make things right with that one so that you are working in unity and by faith presenting the witness to Jesus Christ. You have a great day.